Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the Bucks draft coming up at 2:35, you can line up now at 799-1250 while we talk with Chris Monter of College Basketball News, who joins us once again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are you this afternoon, Chris?
Great to be back with you. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Well, most of us are doing well. My guy, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer over here, the biggest Bucks fan that I know, he's a little bit distraught. He said when they got about 2-3 picks away from number 17 where the Bucks were picking and he was doing his draft show here on The Fan, he had about 10 guys lined up who he would be happy with the Bucks taking. Not one of those 10 guys was the guy that they actually took, DJ Wilson. What did you think of the pick, Chris?
Yeah, it was maybe a little bit of a surprise, but I think he's a very good player. Kind of fits what the Bucks have done the last few drafts with a long, lean, athletic player. And he's a little bit stronger, but can play multiple positions. Obviously got a chance to see him a lot in Big Ten country where I'm based out of in Minnesota. You might have seen the highlights where he hits a big three-pointer to send that game into overtime when Michigan rallied against the Gophers. The Gophers eventually won in overtime. But you look at the way he played down the stretch, especially in the Big Ten tournament. Played very well, and in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, maybe went a little bit higher than I maybe thought he would. Obviously, you look at the picks right after him, where three players that are also kind of at the same position as him. But I think the Bucks, with what they like, you know, wasn't a big surprise to see him go for that player. I guess only time will tell if that was the right choice.
Let's talk about him just in general for a second. Everything that I've seen, not the most physical player in the whole wide world. I had people calling up last night comparing him to Jared Jeffries and Channing Frye and guys like that. And it's always tough to make an NBA comparison. Some guy tweeted at us today, said his ceiling is Rasheed Wallace. I don't necessarily see that. Where are you on him?
Yeah, I think he's a better ball handler than many of those players, but you're right. That's going to be one area that he's going to have to improve on, his strength in the NBA. But, you know, the NBA is becoming more of a spread-out game more than ever. So it's probably less physical than ever. I was watching the 30 for 30 with the Celtics and the Lakers series this past week, and you look how physical the game used to be compared to how it is now. And I think a player like Wilson, you know, that won't be a big factor for him. Obviously, I think, you know, if you're going to withstand a pounding of an 82-game schedule, you're going to need to get bigger and stronger. But now, you know, his college career is over. It's basketball 24/7. He can continue to work to improve that part of his game. But I think the fact that he can guard a couple different positions, play different positions, also put the ball on the floor, can already be a very good outside shooter. I think he's a good fit for what they have. Obviously, the team needs to stay healthy, and if they could do that, you look at what they could do this past year. You know, very impressive with the way they started against the Raptors. You would wonder what they could have done if they would have had a healthy Jabari Parker. Now you add a player like Wilson to the mix, and maybe some other moves they're going to make via free agency, and you're starting to see a young core that could be really exciting to watch over the next few years.
See, Chris, you kind of led and said the same thing I said today when you look at DJ Wilson. I think it's just a player right now. Certain teams start drafting players that fit their mold, and I think this guy most certainly does that. And I think at 17, I think it's tough to, if you're a Bucks fan, it's tough to find a guy that's going to come in and play right away. There's a reason why you're drafting at 17,
right? I mean, you're a playoff team, and obviously, you know, you're a team that, you know, has probably a fairly solid starting five and a decent rotation.
Correct.
You're looking for a player who can, you know, play in that top 8-9. I think Wilson can definitely do that. You know, I think the draft, much like a lot of things in life, you know, Wilson, maybe his name wasn't mentioned that much, so now people are going to question why he was the pick. And, if you had heard his name maybe a little bit more in, you know, pre-draft talk with the Bucks, then maybe people are a little bit more accepting of it. But, again, I think he's a player who's going to need time to develop. But, again, you look at what they've done the last few years in the draft, drafting kind of similar players that are long and athletic, and I think Wilson really fits right into what they're trying to do.
Move to the second round, Chris, because, you know, after Brogdon did so well, I mean, very good, got a lot of playing time and played a key role down the stretch. So everybody turns to the second round, and they kind of get excited for the pick, and then things just change. So I just don't know the direction there. But I'm willing to give Horst some room on this, seeing that he's been on the job really maybe a week or two. But I know he's been in the organization, but he got a chance to do something right. So I'm willing to give him a little space.
Yeah, I mean, I always think teams devalue the second round so much. I don't quite get it. You look at Brogdon, and you go way back, obviously, with the Bucks. You know, a player like Michael Redd was a second-round pick, had a great career for the Bucks. Isaiah Thomas, who was one of the most exciting players in the league this year, was the 60th pick. You know, Ginobili was the 57th pick. You go back, you know, Carlos Boozer. You have very good undrafted players. Wesley Matthews, who's had a very good NBA career out of Marquette, was an undrafted player. You know, you go back farther and farther, you know, Brad Miller, who played in the NBA All-Star game a couple times. Ben Wallace, who, you know, was the most effective defensive player and rebounder and shot blocker for a period of time with the Detroit Pistons, was undrafted. So I always question why teams are so reluctant, you know, to do more things in the second round, because you're getting a player who's going to make, you know, $700,000-$800,000, and, you know, your salary cap is $99 million. That player is making, you know, less than 1% of your salary cap and could be one of your 15, 13 players. So I'm always a little critical of teams doing that, especially when you look at so many players who are making such an exorbitant amount. And I don't begrudge them if somebody's willing to pay you that kind of money. But to me, to pay somebody $10 million to sit on your bench makes no sense. So you're right. Maybe you could have seen them maybe try to do a little bit more. But just, I think this is actually a pretty deep draft, a strong draft, because of so many young players coming out. There's some good seniors, you know, like a player like a Frank Mason, who was a National College Player of the Year. I think he goes in a good situation because he's played 140, 150 college games against great competition in the Big 12, played in the postseason, played a good non-conference schedule for Kansas, and I think he's more ready to step in than a lot of players who went ahead of him.
Talking with Chris Monter of College Basketball News here on the Wendy's Big Show. I was just Googling the Bucks' second-round pick this morning, Sterling Brown, to see what I could find on him, and I found an article written before the draft saying that this guy will probably go in the second round, but whoever gets him is going to be very happy getting him in the second round because he may be the steal of the draft. Could he be that good, in your opinion, Chris?
Yeah, he's a very athletic player. I got a chance to see him a lot as an AAU kid way back in the day, and obviously, you know, he's been well-coached throughout his high school and college career. And again, you know, second round's kind of a shot in the dark. If you look historically, you know, only about 70% of the second rounders ever play in the league, and some of them, you know, are only in the league for a very short period. But again, you know, if you're willing to do the work, and again, I like having, you know, more experienced players maybe being a second round pick, because to me, you'd rather have somebody who can step in right away than a guy who's going to need time to develop. So I think Brown, who's played a lot of college basketball, is going to be maybe more quickly ready to step in for a team. Obviously, the summer leagues are going to be important for a lot of these second round picks to showcase their skills in front of all the NBA GMs and scouts. And I always think worst case scenario, if you can't make that team, all those other teams are watching, along with all the undrafted free agents as well.
That's Chris Monter of College Basketball News, editor and publisher over there. Also check him out at MonterDraftNews.com, and he's on Twitter at CollegeBBNews, and our guest here for the second straight day on the Wendy's Big Show. We appreciate the insight and the time, Chris. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, guys. Have a great weekend.
You
too.
Chris Monter joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.